It is a pleasure to be here. I've had many memorable moments in this parish. I'll get into some of those in a minute. And it's always a pleasure to return and to be with you, to pray, to worship, to connect, and to ponder, and to plan. And so I'm here today ready to do all those things, and especially to be here on your feast day, the feast of St. Catherine of Alexandria. From the Revelation to John, our first reading assigned for today. See, I am making all things new. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life. Those who conquer will inherit these things, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. Anglicans don't often preach on the book of the Revelation to John. You don't hear many sermons on the book of Revelations. This is partly because the book of Revelations comes up relatively infrequently in the lectionary, but a fair number of times on special occasions, saints' days, holy days, All Souls, it comes up then. Often at funerals as well, it comes up. But the other reason for the lack of focus Anglican preachers bring to this book of the Bible is that many of them, and I would have to count myself in this, consider the book to be just plain weird, just weird, containing a little too much mystery as to its authorship, a little too many challenges in terms of how to interpret it, a little too many times when we've heard it misinterpreted by other preachers, in fact, a little too many strange symbols piled up one on top of the other, and just a little too many odd declarations to be useful in the same way, for instance, that Paul's letters are useful because they're written to actual circumstances in the church, or the stories of Jesus from the Gospels are useful because, after all, they're stories that can connect easily to our stories, the stories of our lives. Interestingly enough, many would say the same thing about the accounts of the life of the patroness saint of this church. I got into it a little bit with our children, St. Catherine of Alexandria. For more questions surround her life than verifiable facts. Yes, it's believed that she was a young woman who underwent great suffering for her own sake, her own integrity's sake, and for the sake of the witness of the gospel. And I said, you know, she spoke back to power. She refused to knuckle under to a bully. But who exactly was she? And what was the real story, not only of her death, but of what happened after her martyrdom? Because there are many legends that surrounded what happened after her death, and many groups that formed around kind of devotion to her on account of it. What is fact, and what is the stuff of overblown and fantastical, maybe even a little unhelpful legend? And however we sort it out, what does it mean to us today? Especially today, on the day we're celebrating her as the patron saint of not just any St. Catherine's, because there are a number, but as patron saint of this parish with its own stories, its own verifiable facts, and its stuff of fantastical legends, like all parishes. If we look at these two things together, the oddness of the book of Revelations and the strange stories of the life, death, and influence of the young woman we call St. Catherine of Alexandria, I think we can find a kind of common message, a common theme that, to tell you the truth, is as strange and some would say as unbelievable as some of the book of Revelations and some of the life of the saint we call St. Catherine of Alexandria. And that message is this, that even in the face of conflict and confusion, even in the face of suffering, even in the face of intimidating and death-dealing events, even in the face of tyrants in every day, even in the face of all these things, love wins. Love wins. Love will win. Let me say a little more. The book of Revelations, directed to a church that was undergoing great tribulation and persecution, with all its symbolic descriptions of the end times and the troubles surrounding those end times, in the end, that story is the story of how these very troubles, these very tribulations, become the means by which, in Christ, all things will be made new and the gift of the water of life will flow towards humanity. That's a story of love winning, love triumphing. The life and the legend of St. Catherine, the story of a young woman who remained true to her faith in the face of great suffering and death, and who even after her death inspired a following related to healing and prayer. In the end, this is a story of, in Christ, freedom can triumph over domination. The power of healing can triumph over the power of death. And so it, too, is a story about love winning, about love triumphing. And this morning, the morning of celebration in this particular parish of St. Catherine's, this parish that has seen its share of conflict, of challenges, and of difficulties, this morning of celebration and hope, of new and exciting problems to solve and challenges to meet, is in the end, I believe, a story of the triumph of community over conflict, of hope over despair, of perseverance over throwing in the towel. It's a story of love winning. Of love winning. Love wins because in the end, we believe that God is faithful, that God is utterly dependable. And that's hard to believe as we watch some of the events in our world kind of swirl around us. We stand on the belief that God is faithful and God is utterly dependable. Love wins because God does not desert the lives of the saints as they themselves struggle to be faithful in the particular historical moment that is before them and in the response they make to that moment. And love wins because somehow, it's not universal, but somehow in some communities of faith, the very wounds and challenges that have the potential to take the whole community under instead evoke and provoke a different response, a response that is a strange and wonderful combination of prayer, openness, learning, and action that together somehow, with God's help, open a new life. In February of 2016, I was counting it up, 2 years and about 9 months ago, I spent one of the most distressing Sundays of my time as your bishop here with you as we all tried to absorb some really difficult news that your then interim priest would not be coming back on account of some allegations against him in another place. On that Sunday, others from the diocese, as well as a lot of the press, you remember that? Some of you remember that, were here as well. So George Cadman was here, Randy Murray, the communications officer of the diocese, were here. And by the way, today, George Cadman is here. Randy Murray isn't, but Bob Hardy, the treasurer of the diocese, is here. The two most senior, and I would add, most essential lay leaders of our diocese are here today. So soon after that Sunday, 2 years and 9 months ago, I remember being at a meeting and remember people wondering out loud, actually saying this, wondering out loud about just how much this parish could take, just how much change and disruption and disappointment this parish could tolerate. It's a good question because how much can any parish take? and still come up breathing and healing and imagining and growing. But you know the story after that, the way you as a parish pulled together under the clergy leadership of then your new interims. It's few parishes that have two different periods of interim, but you got to have it. Your new interims, Keith and Sharon, the way that you as a parish in the same interim time period with God's help began exploring all that is before you now, the way that all of this led to your recommending the appointment of your new incumbent, Sharon Smith, which then led to your continuing articulation of your priorities of property development, spiritual development, liturgical development, membership development, and financial development, just to name a few. It all kind of happened. This strange and wonderful story, this story of difficulty and faithfulness, of hurt and healing, is what we're really celebrating today. And so in my view, today is less about the story of St. Catherine, who is said to have held on to her faith unto death, and more about St. Catherine's, this parish church that has and continues to hold on to its faith unto new life here and now, and on an ongoing basis. See, I am making all things new, says the God in Christ who animates the revelation to John. Today we affirm that life has its hurts, has its confusions, has its tribulations. Life has its deaths. But all along the journey, love finds a way. Love wins. Love can turn hurts, confusions, tribulations, and even death into new life. And for that I give thanks, and I give thanks to you, to all of you.